Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My guest today is Anita Bamford. She is the lead PT physical therapist at Northside ISD in San Antonio, Texas. Anita, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, let's have you tell everybody a little bit about Northside ISD and your role there.
Okay, well, Northside ISD is a very big school district here in San Antonio, if not the biggest, a very large school district. And I've been with Northside as a physical therapist since 1991. So that's about 32 years.
Long time.
When we first started, we were contract staff. And then in 1994, they put us as employees. So now since 94, we've been employees.
How many physical therapists do you have that work under you?
Now there are 11, including myself, three of which are part-time.
Nice.
So, and two of which are physical therapist assistants.
Okay. Yeah.
PTAs. And then we work very closely, of course, with the occupational therapy department, and there's about 25 of them or so.
Wow. Yeah. So tell me for those people that don't know, I do know, but I know there's a lot of our audience that doesn't know, what does physical therapy have to do with schools?
Well, that's a good question. Everybody, a lot of times the first thing they ask is, you know, do you work with the football teams? But that is
absolutely athletic trainers, right?
Right. They have trainers. No, physical therapists who work in a school district, we work with generally the special education population and children with neurological, orthopedic involvement. And, you know, the primary focus is allowing them to access and participate in their educational program. So we are not bringing a clinical model of physical therapy into the schools at all. In fact, we are integrating ourselves within the child's educational program and providing physical therapy services within the educational setting, allowing them to participate and access to the best of their abilities.
Right. And that goes back to IDEA, the Individuals with Disability Education Act. Right. And within that, just so people know, the free appropriate public education is mandated. It's a federal law that children have access to education. And if they have a physical disability, you help to fix that for them and give them access, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's it. So what kinds of things would you work on with a child in that vein?
In that setting? Mm-hmm. I would say the majority of what we do is teach teachers and staff who work with the students on a daily basis. So most of the children that we see, not all, but a good majority of the children that we see have severe neurological orthopedic involvement. They're in wheelchairs. They utilize a variety of adapted equipment such as standers and gait trainers and walkers. And so what we do for the most part is teach the teachers how to physically manage the children safely throughout the day and throughout their entire school day. So everything from how to transfer them safely, utilizing whatever transfer method is best based on that particular child. We teach the best transfers, safety for both the student and the teachers. We teach them physical management, how to properly physically manage their bodies for diaper changes, for clothing management, those types of things throughout the day. And we teach them how to utilize whatever adapted equipment the child might use, such as standers, gait trainers, walkers, whatever that may be. So it's a lot of training and teaching of the educational staff, because what we want the child to do and participate in is we want that to happen all day long, every day, not just 30 minutes when a therapist comes into a room kind of thing. And so that is why and Northside was honestly probably one of the first school districts to kind of implement that model of integrative, collaborative, and instead of a pull out, you know, once a week, 30 minutes, you take the child out to a classroom, do your magic and take them back. Well, you know, we realized quickly that just doesn't work, and that doesn't provide, because the rest of the time, you know, the child is there all day long, every day, 5 days a week. So they need they need to be doing these things every day in their natural occurring environments.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helps. So tell me, can you tell me a little bit about that process? I'm impressed. You know, I want to make sure that we give Northside some of that credit, because it sounds like they deserve the credit along with you, obviously, as a lead and a leader for them. But yeah. What was that process to get you to this point? Because it's impressive. I'm really impressed with what you guys are doing. So,
well, thank you. It started actually with, when I came on, I was only 25 years old. So my boss and the lead physical therapist at the time and the lead occupational therapist, they were actually really pioneers of this whole integrative model. They have both since retired, and myself and Michelle Smith, the occupational therapist lead, has, we are now the leads, but they were at that time, and they were the ones who pioneered the whole hey, wait a minute, that's not working to take the child out and do our, little 30-minute mm-hmm. session. And yes, a lot of people think, and sometimes parents really kind of just have hung on to that. They just want that, once a week, 30 minutes kind of thing. But when you explain to the parents and the teachers and everybody involved that, really what we want is we want them to be doing those things all day long, every day. And so Shirley and Heidi, who were the leads before us, the PT and the OT, who started this program I think they started in 1989, and I came on as a staff therapist in 91. Nice. Mm-hmm. And so they really pioneered this. Now, where they got that vision, I don't know. I do know that they both worked in schools themselves throughout Texas, and this is, I think they got together and said, hey, this would be, and we were a much smaller district at the time, and there were only 3 physical therapists and maybe 5 occupational therapists back then. And so, but we have really, we know the value of that model and have carried it out ever since they retired and in the 32 years now that I've 32 years. Yeah. Now that I've been.
Yeah, you and I are close. I'm 31 years as a speech therapist. So I'm right there with you.
Same, yeah.
About, we're close to probably the same age.
Yes.
So let's flip that on its head. Uh-huh. So what do you see for the children? I know the benefits, but let's explain to people why this model is so important and what that does for the child to be able to access education that way?
Well, for one, a real big emphasis on both PT and OT part is making sure the child is well positioned and stabilized whenever they're participating in their educational activities. So we want them seated well in their wheelchairs, and we are very active. And this is another thing that I've really been is really a priority for me, is we do a lot of wheelchair evaluations with the child and their vendors in order to make sure the child gets a really good custom manual wheelchair or whatever equipment it is that they need, whether it's a walker, too, if they're able to do mm-hmm. those things. But mm-hmm. What we really want is good seating and positioning for them throughout their day, so that because if they are falling out of their wheelchairs or very poorly positioned, they can't see accurately, they can't access. If they have some good arm or hand movement, they're not able to utilize that to their best mm-hmm. function. We really want their core and lower extremities stabilized so that they can then use their hands, or sometimes it's their head, they're hitting switches, or sometimes they're using eye gaze devices for communication. We work really closely also with our speech therapist, and Northside has an assistive technology program, and they are all speech therapists as well on that team. And so we work very closely all together, PT, OT, assistive technology, speech. If the child's visually impaired, we have the visually impaired teachers in there. Everybody works real closely together as a team to just make sure that everything is set up, well for the child. And that honestly takes a lot more time than 30 minutes once a week.
Yeah. For sure. And collaboration, and a lot of collaboration.
Yes.
Sure.
And a lot of time to set the classroom up, set the child's, all their equipment up, then teach the teachers how to utilize it on a daily basis. So they're, then the child gets better at those skills because they're doing it every day, all day long. It's being implemented by the people, who are with them all day, which is their teachers.
So if you think about, if we compare this to sitting in a movie theater or sitting when you're working and you have a sore muscle or you're uncomfortable, it's really hard for a child to focus on what the teacher is saying. Exactly. So, and that's why this piece, and I'm a speech therapist, so, you know, you bring me into this because absolutely, we work with you as well.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, my executive function is not going to work when I'm thinking about a core function of I'm uncomfortable and I'm in pain.
Right.
So what you're doing is critical, and and the kids, the students are benefiting from it. And that's kudos to you. I have to say, I'm proud of what you guys are doing. It's amazing. And that's why I'm so glad we're highlighting that today, because it's an integral. It's integral. So what would you say for you now, is your biggest challenge? What is the biggest challenge in 2025 as in your role that you face in the educational setting?
Well, the challenges have definitely changed a lot.
Yes.
You know, a lot because we're a much bigger school district now, a lot because there's a lot of, you know, school districts are always under the stress of financial restraints, those kinds of things. So that what that does is it trickles down to, you know, the teachers, the makeup of the classroom. Sometimes there's more kids now involved in, in each class. There's not as many teachers. So I would say the biggest challenge that we face is just, you know, teachers being stressed because they have a lot more population in their classroom to deal with. And also the classroom makeup now is much different than it was, you know, 25 years ago. And so those teachers have more kids, more challenges, and just a lot on them. So we have to figure a way and always show the teacher what we are trying to do is actually make their life much easier with the child and let them know that we are not trying to add work into their day by doing these things with the child, but that these things are natural things that the child should do every day along in their educational program, and that it will make things much better in the end. You know, physically managing these students too sometimes is very difficult and takes a physical strain. So, you know, in letting them know too, we're here for you. We want you to be safe and not hurt your back and not get repetitive strain injuries from doing things for years and years. And so those methods that we teach them are trying to help them as well as the student and, you know, everybody involved. But yeah, I would say that's the biggest challenge is just the teachers having their biggest challenges.
Right. It does trickle. It does trickle down. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And what would you say to a physical therapist who has maybe not done this model and is considering, you know, because I don't know about you, but, you know, challenges with staffing is always a concern. I don't know if you have any of those, but just if somebody is interested in pursuing this avenue versus a hospital, it's such a different, I mean, just such a different way of doing therapy and providing services. So what advice would you give them?
Yes, it very much is. And I think, you know, over the years, I know that physical therapists and myself included before I came to the school district, you know, we very strongly want to, you know, work with that person, work with that child and develop and try to, you know, fix their issues. And one thing, you know, I have learned with our kiddos that we service for the most part, you know, some of them are able to make some really good physical progress and get to a certain level. And others are, you know, what you really want to do is make them as comfortable as possible, as functional as possible, able to have fun and participate in their life as much as possible. And so knowing that we are not, you know, we don't have magic
no magic wand.
Right. We don't have a magic wand. We can't fix them all, but we certainly can help make their school life much better. And, you know, to me, that's very rewarding. I've watched kids grow up from 3 to 22. Over the span of my career, many children going through their entire and knowing them all those years and seeing where they've started, where they've come and where they're going. And that's, you know, to me, very rewarding. And, you know, so I think a therapist coming in from the outside, you know, I worked in an outpatient pediatric clinic before I came to Northside for 3 years. And, you know, I was used to seeing one child every 30 minutes for, you know, the first half of the day, have 30 minute lunch and do that all over again in the afternoon. So it was very fast paced. And, and this job is not at all easy. You know, sometimes people think, oh, it sounds easy. It is not, because there's so many factors. And not to scare anybody away, it's not, you know, it's different. A good challenge in my view. It keeps, every day is different. There's no, you know, every day is just a completely different schedule. You figure it out. You've got to deal with a lot of different players, you know, teachers, staff, principals, parents, vendors out there in the community trying to get equipment for these kiddos, you know, all of the Medicaid, those types of things constantly trying to. So it's, I like the challenge. It never gets boring. And I do think sometimes, well, you know, in a hospital setting or in an outpatient orthopedic clinic, it can get a little boring in my view, but that, you know, but the constant challenge and change on a daily basis keeps the job, in my view, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And going campus to campus and driving and, you know, it's.
Yeah. That yeah, it's not. It doesn't happen in just one school. And you guys have hundreds.
We have over 120 schools.
120 schools. Yeah. I knew there was over 100. So
we are on the road a lot, actually. Yeah. It all is in every, you know, elementary, middle, and high school. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. One last question I ask everybody at the end of our podcast. I ask everybody the same question, and it is, if you could, we talked about that magic wand, right? If you could miraculously solve one challenge in the school, what would you want to solve?
I would like the teachers and the classroom makeup to be a little bit more conducive to teaching. You know, very specialized kits, and not overloading teachers, and not overloading what they have to deal with on a daily basis, so that they can feel like they can be more effective teachers and they're not pulling their hair out and stressed all the time. So, and that of course probably means, you know, more classrooms, more teachers, more money. So
yeah, always. Isn't that it? It's always more money. I mean, it really is. And one of the things that schools struggle with the most is their budgets. Right. And it's not because they're not trying to manage their money. Oh, it's just, there's never enough.
There's always cuts, and there's always, you know, especially right now. So it's a very difficult time with that. But yeah, if I had the magic wand, that would be it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get Northside a plug here. So, Anita, thank you so much for your time. Where should people go if they want to learn more about you or about the school?
Northside's website, Northside ISD in San Antonio, Texas. You know, you can Google that. And we have a website, and on that website, there's a special education link that you can go into, and you can see all the special education players, as well as, you know, occupation. We are considered a related service in the schools. Yep. That's what they're called. So that's physical therapy, occupational therapy. Speech therapy can be both. And sometimes they're instructional and sometimes they're related. So, but, you know, there's a lot of information on the website.
Fantastic. Well, great. Thank you so much once again for joining us, Anita. It's been inspiring to hear what you have done throughout your career. And the children are better off because they've been in your path. And that's an amazing thing. So
thank you
again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Welcome.